So tonight we're going to try and discuss a fascinating topic as we continue to see where the Rambam in his Maor Nevuchim holds when it comes to discussions in Machshava and Jewish philosophy on key topics as opposed to other Bali Machshava that have, you know, come across over the generations. And tonight we're going to discuss a fun and fascinating topic that I'm sure many of you have thought of over the years that ties in a little bit to last week's Parsha, as we'll see in the middle of the Makoros. And that is, why do we keep kosher? Right? Everyone knows there's halachos of kashrus, there's all these simanim in Yoredeya of Malicha and Shchita and Isser V'Heter and Basar V'Chalav and Taroves and Hagalas Kalim, Achsharas Kalim, Bishalakum, Yayin Nesach, etc. All of these questions of what's kosher, what's non-kosher, and so many intricate halachot that come up regarding it. An entire Masechet of Shas called Masechet Chulin that discusses so many of these discussions. And the basic question is, why do we keep kosher? What's the point of it? Besides for the fact that the Torah tells us that, what is behind the ideas of Hilchos Kashrus? This ties into last week's Parsha because we know that before the Mabul, Noach was not allowed to eat meat. And then afterwards, when he left the Teva, there was a heter for Noach to now start to eating meat. That's going to come up in part of the discussion as we see. And that's something that we have here. There's Makoros there. If you want to just pass them out to people, that would be awesome. Or just give and pass around. Fantastic. Whatever is, and great. Thank you so much. Okay? So tonight we're going to discuss a little bit about this. Why do we keep kosher? What stands behind it? What's going on? So I want to start off just because we're starting with the Rambam, or our starting point always is the Rambam. So the Rambam, when it comes to Hilchos Kashrus, has a fascinating understanding. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvot Aseh, lists, there's three different Mitzvot Aseh. There are three different positive commandments to keep kosher. We all know that kashrus is like, you can't eat this, you can't do that, don't mix your meat and milk, don't eat the pig, don't, you know, use boiling water in the meat sink with the dairy spoon, whatever it is, all these halachot. It's always, you can't do this. The Rambam lists, there's three separate mitzvot aseh that you need to know and differentiate between the animals that are tahor and tameh, the birds that are tahor and tameh, and the insects that are tahor and tameh. Three separate mitzvot based on the psukim to differentiate between what's what. And that is, the Rambam says, there's a positive mitzvah to know Hilchot Kashrut. And this too is brought down in the very first halacha in Aleph and Hilchot Machalot Asurot in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam tells us specifically that there really is a positive mitzvah to know Hilchot Kashrut, to differentiate between them. And that's something that's fascinating because we generally, with many of the other Monei mitzvot, do not agree with the Rambam about this. A, that when it says in the psukim, Lavdil Ben Tahor V'Tameh, is that actually going to be a positive mitzvah? Or that's just a way to differentiate between what's kosher and what's not kosher in order to avoid eating Isurim? That's a fascinating question asked on the Rambam. And two, I would have thought maybe the Rambam counts three separate mitzvot, basically the same thing, just switches the words out, birds, insects, or domesticated or wild animals. Maybe I could have just grouped that all as one mitzvah instead of making it three separate things. But the Rambam holds very strongly that there's three positive mitzvot that apply this. I brought for you on the Mar Makomos sheet a fascinating tshuva by Rav Eliyahu Bakshi Daron Zecher Tzadik Levrach, who passed away this past year, in Shupin Yen Avchele Gimel. Fascinating tshuva where he's discussing whether, you know, the discussions about kashrus in our generation, but he opens off in Sif Aleph and Bet of his tshuva. For those that want to see the whole tshuva, I didn't bring on the Makoros, but I have it here. And he basically opens off with this Rambam, saying the Rambam tells us there's a mitzvah to say for knowing Hilchos Kashrus on top of the negative mitzvah. And he says, we need to know Hilchos Kashrus. And he says, when I read the psukim, I never would have assumed this. We would have just said, okay, eating shreif is aser. Eating basar v'chalav is aser. But to actually positively know, oh, this is a kosher fish because it has scales and fins. This is a non-kosher fish. Oh, this has split hooves and it chooses cud. Oh, he just has split hooves. That seemingly, it doesn't seem to be that's a mitzvah on its own. And so Rav Bakshi Daron, he says that for the Rambam, he counts both sides of his coins. And it's like a double-sided, it's awesome. You both get credit for knowing Hilchos Kashrus, and you avoid the Isurim. It's like a win-win situation. And Rav Bakshi Daron continues, says, we have to actively know what's called kosher and what's not kosher. When you eat food, if you have positive knowledge, you have intent, Rav Bakshi Daron explains for the Rambam, when I sit down and eat food, I say, wow, this is a salmon, and I know that salmon has scales, and I know that salmon has fins, then you're mekayim a mitzvah aseh. And eating kosher then is actually a positive mitzvah, not just avoiding a sor meira, but an aseh tov. As fascinating as that sounds. But then he continues, and we're not going to go through the whole thing now, but he laments how in our generation, no one knows hilchos kashrus, right? If you were to ask, you know, your grandparents or great-grandparents, they knew how to shecht the animal, they knew how to do malicha and salt it, they knew how to take out the different evarim inside and outside. How many of you have ever salted a chicken before to kasher it? How many of you have even seen shechita? Right? It's something that's so removed from us. So he laments, today we don't really know hilchos kashrus. He says, if we're lucky, we actually know the differences in the metzias between hechsher A and B. You're in the supermarket and there's a hechsher of Ploni and there's a hechsher of Almoni, and you say, oh, they both have a hechsher, it must be fine. Some rabbi says it's okay. But how many people, when you look at the hechsher, you could say, oh, I know that they hold X on this policy and they hold Y on that policy. I know that they're makil according to this, they're machmir according to that. I know some of the differences, some of the background behind it, behind the different hechsherim on the shelf. And Rav Bakshi Taron, he says, we don't even know the differences between the hechsherim. If we're lucky, people know that something's reliable versus not reliable, let alone knowing the nuanced differences between their positions and opinions on potentially Isurei D'oraita, depending on the issue at hand. And so he says, it used to be that kashrus was what brought an entire community together. You were having a bar mitzvah or a wedding or something going on, a simcha. You would take your animal, you would go to the butcher. The butcher would shecht it for you and clean it for you. And then you would take it, because you had a question in Dina, you know, about it. You would take the cow or the animal, whatever it was, to the community rabbi. And then you would go home and you would salt it yourself. And it would be a whole process where eating kosher used to be something that drew the entire community together. And he says, today, that's not the case. Because, simply put, you don't see the shechita, right? It's happening in some factory, whether it's in Argentina and South America, whether it's happening in Eretz Yisrael or in America. You have no idea where the factory even is, let alone who the shochet was, or who the rabbi who gives the hechsher is, let alone the mashkiach who's on site. You don't know how to do any of the kashrus. What's going on? He basically says, we're missing out on so much of it. And he has a beautiful description how it used to be that after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we say that the Mikdash Me'at was moved to our home. And he said everyone in their own home was basically like a Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah in their own home, where the Shulchan was like the Shulchan, and the oven was like the Mizbeach, and you had to add the salt, do the Malicha, just like we have to add salt to all our Korbanos. We had to know the Shechita, and we had to know how to take out the blood. And basically our own homes became a little bit of a Mikdash Me'at, where we basically were doing quote-unquote the Avodah by kashering our meat, by making our food kosher. That was an Avodah. He says that kashrus used to be a symbol of Yirat Shemayim. Today it's a question of how convenient it is. Oh, the pizza store that's a 3-minute block walk away, has an iffy hechsher. But the pizza store 10 minutes away has a great hechsher. Should I really walk the extra 7 minutes to get the Mahadran pizza? Yes or no? That's going to be a question. And he says, that's not what used to be. You know, that's going to be a question of Yirat Shemayim and how we paskin on some of these modern issues in kashrus. But he says, it used to be that kashrus was the symbol of Yirat Shemayim. To keep a kosher home was hard. It wasn't, do I go to Rami Levy? Do I spend the extra, you know, 3 shekel a kilo for the better hechsher on the chicken or not? Those kind of, you know, balance and value questions that we have. But it used to be that if you cared to keep kosher, that was a sign of your entire Yirat Shemayim. And he basically says, we're living in a totally different world where kashrus has really taken a major shift, and we don't necessarily know what's going on. And it's a fascinating tshuva, but really, Aleph and Bet, that I brought on the Makoro sheet here, are honestly fantastic and incredibly fascinating, where he really discusses how some of this plays a part, how times have changed, and also some of the beauty of what keeping kosher in your own home is, and how that relates to Avodas HaMikdash in our lives. So in discussing the world of kashrus, why do I keep kosher? What's going on? How does that work? So I want to discuss, there's a few different reasons brought down that are, you know, we're going to see and discuss. At the end of the day, it's a mitzvah in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, but we could try and get some background and learn a little bit about kashrus by understanding the reasons behind it. It should be noted, we won't discuss tonight. Depending on the different reasons at hand, there'll be incredible nafkaminas lahalacha, such as, can I ever accept an organ or blood donation from a non-Jew or someone who doesn't keep kosher? Can, you know, Moshe wouldn't nurse from a non-Jewish woman, okay? Lots of different really fascinating questions that come up. Can you send a kid to a school that's going to serve non-kosher food because that's where they're going to get the best education as someone with special needs? Lots of really, really fantastic questions that come up that, depending on how you understand the different tamim, the different sugyot at hand, are going to be fascinating. Do I eat shreif, or do I, that's cooked, or do I be mechal Shabbos to shecht, or to cook kosher food? That's going to be a fascinating machloket amongst the poskim in Hilchos Shabbos, which takes precedent. That will very much hinge upon how we understand what the purpose of kashrus is. So to start off, we have one very, very simple idea. The pasuk tells us in Shmon Chaf Bet Lamed, "Va'anshe kodesh tiyuli u'basar basedeh treifa lo tochlu lakelev tashlichu noto." The pasuk tells us that you're going to be anshe kodesh, you're going to be holy, you're going to be separate, you're going to be designated for me. And how do we know that? Because you're not going to eat the treifot that are found in the field, the dead animals that are lying in the field that aren't kosher, they weren't shechted, they're just, you know, they're lying around, they're treif. And you should just, you feed it to your dog. And Rashi tells us, "Im atem kedoshim uprushim mishkotzit, nevelot utreifot hare atem sheli, v'im lav einchem sheli." If you remove yourself from eating nevelot and treifot and shkatzim v'ramasim, if you keep yourself separate from eating these non-kosher foods, you're going to be special and sanctified and holy to me. And if not, not, that's your choice. Fascinating idea. Really, the starting point for kashrus is, this is something to raise us up. This puts us on a pedestal. This brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're holy. Kedoshim to you. Anshe Kodesh. You want to be someone's holy. You want to be special. It starts on what you eat. You are what you eat, is what they say, no? So if you want to be Kodesh, you have to eat things that are Kodesh. If you want to be holy, you want to be closer to God, then there's certain things you should eat. There are certain things you shouldn't eat. And this we see even more so, continuing in Vayikra Perek Chaf, that's so too, that we're going to continue, v'ivdavtem b'ena b'ema b'ena ha-Torah v'el etmea, right, etc. Vayitem li kidoshim ki kadosh ani Hashem v'avdil etchem mina amim lihiot li. If you want to be Kodesh, so knowing the differences between what's Tahor, what's Tameh, what's kosher, what's not kosher, knowing the simanim, as the Rambam tells us, not only a mitzvah to say, it's not only a mitzvah to say, but it's a way to draw close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a way to bring yourself up, to be a part of Anshei Kodesh, to be part of a holy, a distinct, separate, and unique nation. And that's really, so seems to be very pasha from the Pesukim. The Rikanti, Rav Menachem Rikanti, tells us in his commentary over here in Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, in Parshat Shmini, that's really the source for all of Hilchos Kashrus in the Torah. And the Rav Menachem Rikanti tells us that the simple reason for the Pesukim is that non-kosher food, it's damaging to our souls. It prevents us from attaining our true purpose, which is to bring closer to Hashem, lidabek l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, to draw close, to cling, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have a relationship with Him. And non-kosher food, it prevents us from getting there. It prevents us from having that relationship, that unique and special, that relationship that you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so unique and special, that non-kosher food severs it. It prevents you from really attaining your maximum potential in that relationship. And of course, you wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want, if someone says, you could have a great relationship with someone, or you could eat this and have a mediocre relationship. It sounds crazy. Of course, you would rather have the great relationship with the other person than to have a bad relationship or a mediocre relationship, just because you chose one time or two times to eat something that maybe is not so great for you. Rikanti continues. He says, man was creator, a purpose was lidabek l'Hashem. And part of that is we're trying to lose, he says, this is going to be a different discussion, not for now, that part of what we're trying to do is to lose our holds on physicality, similar to Yom Kippur, Leot Dome Lamalach, Hashem Tzvakot. You want to be totally spiritual and close to Hashem, you want to leave some of the physicality behind. So the first step to being close to Hashem and leaving the physicality is by limiting your diet. Don't eat certain things, because that's going to prevent your Dveikus b'Hashem. That's going to prevent the relationship from taking the next step, two steps, or even three or four. And he says, one who keeps kosher, you're like a candle that's lit in a box. But if you, a glass box that's clean and clear. But if you eat non-kosher, it's like you're a light inside a dirty, dusty box. You give off a murky, barely even giving off any glow. And he says, that's what it is if you eat non-kosher. It prevents you from having that clear light. It does something to sever the connection, the relationship that you could have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Vayitem likdoshim, is that our purpose is that we're supposed to be pure and holy neshamas who only eat the purest of foods. He continues and says, based off of Kabbalah, that everything in this world has a force and a counterforce. Everything in this world has its opposite and its counterforce in Shemayim. And he basically says that when we eat kosher food, there's an aspect of Midas Har Chesed, as we'll see in a little bit. There's an aspect of Chesed by eating kosher food. And he says, not only that, the Torah tells us there's 10 kosher behemot, when it lists the different behemot. And he says, why is it dafka 10? Because basara mamarim, the world was created, and the 10 sayings in Kabbalah that the world was created with them. So too, that's part of when we eat with our mouths, the same mouth that speaks the 10 animals that are kosher. So too, that's going to have kind of come together to help really recreate the world as a whole and make things better. Whereas in eating non-kosher, you're tapping into your nefesh ha-bahamis, the physical animalistic soul in a person. And that's something that we want to try and avoid so much. We want to do all we can to raise ourselves up and to try and be as close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu as one, as we can. That's really the first idea that we've seen. Kedoshim to you, we eat kosher because we're trying to be closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We want to be holy. We want to be distinct. We want to be elevated. And by eating kosher things, by eating elevated, pure foods, that's how we can come to bring ourselves up, to have that relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The next idea is going to be an idea by the Ramban. The Ramban, both in Vayikra Yud Aleph and in Dvarim Chaf Aleph, tells us in different ways the same idea. The Ramban tells us Hilchos Kashrus is supposed to be a lesson in Midos, what type of character traits you do and don't want to have, how you should act and how you shouldn't act. And the Ramban brings in both places different examples that are coming to teach us what type of people we should be, what type of nation we should be, what type of lives we should lead. And the Ramban says so beautifully in both places that the purpose of Kashrus is to be against the Midah of Achzarius. It's coming to show us not to be cruel, not to be evil, not to be harmful people. How do we learn that from Hilchos Kashrus? The Ramban tells us very beautifully that part of what we're doing is when we talk about the simanim of the oaf, of the bird, we say it can't be something that's dores, dorsa. What does that mean? It can't be something that tramples or that catches other birds. You can't eat birds of prey. Why? Why can't I have an eagle that goes and eats other animals? Why can't I eat a sparrow that's a bird of prey? You know, I've had enough chicken for my life. I want to have something else. So why is that? And the Ramban tells us so beautifully, because what we're trying to do is imbue within ourselves the midah of we're not trying to be cruel. We're not trying to be like a bird who dive bombs out of the sky where it was undetectable, unable to be seen, to just grab a little rodent off the ground and eat it as is. We're trying to teach ourselves we're not supposed to be birds of prey. We're supposed to be loving, peaceful humans. We're supposed to have relationships, v'anadam l'chaveiro. And we don't want to ever bring within ourselves something that was going to be malicious or harmful, let alone cruel to one another. And the same thing he says in Dvarim and Chafal of Yudalid regarding Lo Tivashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, the source for Basar B'Chalav. The Ramban tells us, why? Where does this idea, Lo Tivashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, seemingly Basar B'Chalav is delicious. The entire world is buying, milk-soaked chicken at KFC and cheeseburgers at McDonald's. The entire world is eating basar v'chalav. What is it so unique about it? And the Ramban tells us, there is nothing worse than ever having a mother see his own child killed in front of her, let alone bathed in her own milk. We're trying to learn the midah of achzarius to not do that. The epitome of cruelty is to make someone watch their own child be killed in front of their own eyes. So even though the Ramban says, yeah, we extend this not just to a mother and son or a mother and daughter, but to any, milk and meat. And the Ramban says, why is that? Because everything that gives off milk, every animal that gives off milk is a mother to someone else, has a motherly property, has the ability to be a mother. And every animal is a child to someone else. And what we're trying to do is to teach ourselves to be peaceful, loving human beings. And thus we want to do everything we can to remove ourselves from the world of cruelty, from the world of evil. And that's why we have Hilchos Kashrus, to tell us, don't do certain things because you don't want to be cruel. Yeah, you had a question?
Yeah, what counts as a bird of prey?
Something that's going to come in and eat other animals necessarily. I don't know exactly how we would define that.
Chickens will eat bugs, right?
Okay.
Is it about the method of eating other animals?
It's a great question. I don't know off the top of my head, like what the definitive character would be for that. Now we're going to enter into the world. Yeah.
Aren't antelopes kosher? They're not, right?
I don't believe so.
Why would they be?
They don't have split hooves either.
Yeah. I was just like,
Do they even eat ants, or is that just the name because they have like a weird snout?
They do eat ants, right? They're called anteaters.
I don't know.
I was just thinking
of fingers. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. So let's continue, okay? The next idea we're going to discuss, and this is where the Rambam really gets back in, and we kick back into our sugyot in Mor Nevuchim. And that is, the Rambam tells us, remember we've discussed in previous, guys, we've discussed in previous weeks how the Rambam takes Taryag Mitzvot, all 613 Mitzvot, and breaks them down into 14 categories. And so the Rambam tells us in Gimel Lamed Hei in Mor Nevuchim that Klal HaShlosrei, the 13th principle, it includes all of the mitzvot of what you can and can't eat. And it also includes the nedarim and the zirut and all of the machalot asurot. And the reason he tells us there in Lamed Hei what the guiding principle of category 13 is all of these things have in common one specific thing. We're trying to remove ourselves from the world of taiva, from having different desires and things that draw on us and pull at us. And that's why we're not allowed to eat certain things. That's why we could take in a zirut, to be a nazir, to not eat wine, to take a neder, to refrain from certain things. That's why those are all bundled together. The Rambam takes this much further in Gimel Memchet, where he elaborates upon the 13th principle. And the Rambam tells us that when it comes to kashrus, we're trying to remove ourselves from different pleasures. And then he says, the main reason why we have different machalot asurot is because it's damaging to our body. It's dangerous. It's not healthy. Right? The Rambam we spoke about in our Hakdama Shirim was a master doctor. He was a world famous doctor. Doctor to the Sultan himself and the royal court. Right? The Rambam knew his medicine. And he says, pork, pig meat, has too much moisture. It interacts with the body not well. The different chalev and the dam and the nevelot, those are different things that they're very, right? The chalev, it's very fatty. The way it interacts with your body is not good. He says the blood, it's mixing hot and cold, and they're going to interact with your body in an unhealthy manner. I don't really understand this, but
what? The humors.
Okay. So basically, the Rambam is coming to tell us and says, we understand that by not eating certain things in the world of kashrus, that's for our own benefit physically, because these are not going to be healthy for us. The Rambam then goes further. Specifically, he kind of harpers on the idea about the pig. As many do, that's the antithesis of kashrus. People say, why is the pig the antithesis of kashrus? Because it has split hooves, but it doesn't chew its cud. And the thing about the pig, that what it does is it's trying to trick you. He's showing you his feet, saying, look, I have split hooves, I'm kosher. And then, but the pnimius, the inside of the pig, is the farthest thing from kosher possible, as it doesn't chew its cud. And that's something we have to often try and avoid and miss, and to actively, you know, try and avoid, is things that are misleading, things that on the outside look really good, but inside are not as pure as they seem to look. The Rambam then says, specifically about the pig, yeah, 1 second, let me just finish the idea from the Rambam. He says that we have so many halachot, v'yumachenecha kadosh, you have to have these special, unique camps. We learn all of our shul, all the halachot about shuls and batei medrash, from where? The halachot of an army camp. It sounds kind of odd to say that we learn the halachot of shuls and batei medrash from the army. You would think it should be the other way around. We have all these halachot about having pure and clean camps. And from here, the Rambam tells us, it seems, you know, we have such a dagesh, such an emphasis on being clean as a community. And if you were to have pigs in your community, they'd be so dirty. We know that Chazal tell us that the mouth of a pig is like a dumpster itself. It's like it is the definition of garbage. And so if you have pigs in the shuk, the entire city is going to be gross and dirty. Especially then you're going to bring the pig into your house. It's going to make everything gross and dirty. That's miguna. That's not what we're trying to accomplish. We see this in Hilchot Nida and Dine Ketamim and Siman Kufzayin, and Tosvot tells us in Masechet Nida that any city where there's pigs rampant, that's a city that's going to, you could be tolek tumim on the pigs because they're just so full of blood. They're playing in the dumps and the garbage. They're running around the shuk. They're just these filthy animals. And we're trying to avoid that. We're trying to be clean, pure, holy people. The Rambam's telling us basically three ideas over here. The first being, we're trying to refrain ourselves from taiva. We're trying to limit our desires. Number two, we are trying to avoid things that are going to be physically damaging to our bodies, that are going to have negative health benefits. And three, we want to be clean, we want to be pure, The pig is going to only make us gross and dirty. Yeah, you had a question?
Yeah, why the pig as the antithesis to kosher versus, like, a camel, which, like...
Because we always talk about the chazir. It's always... You just look through... Whenever you hear shir on kosher, it's always the pig.
Right.
So that's... And then there's other examples, but the pig really has become the symbol of not kosher. I don't know whether the chicken or the egg came first, whether it's the pig or the svara. Yeah, it's a nice vort, whether or not, you know, what the historical, you know, starting is, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, I just think Tosfot said about any cities that...
Tosfot and Hilchot Nida, it's really an aside here, it's not really a main point, but Tosfot and Hilchot Nida says we could be tolak tamim.
What does that mean?
Sugi and Hilchot Nida, not going into details of Hilchot Nida and Shir and Hilchot, on Kashrus, but basically, you could be tolak small amounts of blood that might be seen and say the woman's really pure because maybe it's just from a pig that's running wild in the city and there's just blood and dirt and, you know, gook everywhere as part of just pigs are filthy animals that run wild.
Okay?
The Ramban tells us in Vayikra, the Ramban we discussed earlier, the Rambam also has another thing, I forgot, I left it off by accident and we'll see this come out later. The Rambam also says that maybe one of the issues with some aspects of kashrus is there were certain parts of kashrus that were used for avodah zarah. There are certain animals or different tarovets and basar v'chalav and certain parts of the fats that other non, you know, monotheistic religions would offer to their gods. So we assered certain foods because they became like a maisa of avodah zarah. The Ramban tells us, Nachmanides continues, as we spoke before about two of his ideas, and he also says, he quotes from the Gemara in avodah zarah, Lamed Hei Amud Bet, that eating certain fats are very, very dangerous for us. They're not healthy for our bodies. And thus, he says, the Torah is telling us Darkei Refuah. The Torah is coming to teach us how to be healthy, how to be smart about how we live our lives and how we could be maximizing our potential physically and emotionally. And he says, we see that the Torah tells us in numerous, in Chazal, he says there's a Mesorah that if a baby drinks pig's milk, the baby is going to get Sarat. So he says, we see clearly that there's something about the pig and drinking its milk that's going to be negative, you know, have negative physical effects. So clearly, the Ramban's telling us that there's certain aspects of everything we eat has certain skulot and affect us, not only spiritually, but physically, and the Torah is giving us certain darkei refuah. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us in Mitzvah Ayin Gimel that one should never eat trefot. Why? Because the body is a vessel. It's a kli for the neshama. And they work hand in hand. It's not whether or not is the body a vessel for the neshama? Is the neshama what gives life to the body? He says, no, it's a symbiotic relationship. They work hand in hand. And he says, if our body is not healthy, then our soul can't function properly either. And vice versa. If our soul's really messed up, our body is not going to be able to function the way it should. And he says, this is why we learn machalot asurot. Because without it, we wouldn't know how to properly function. The different refuah and how bad these foods are for our bodies are what, that's why the Torah had to teach us that. Because the Torah is the spiritual food, and our bodies need to be healthy in order to perpetuate the Torah learning, in order to perpetuate the mitzvot. And so the Torah has to come and tell us on the Darkei Refuah to keep our bodies healthy, to keep us running and working the way we should, so that we can continue this relationship between soul and body. And he says, from here we see that it's not like others will see, as we see later, who maybe made fun of this idea. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofe Cholim. We say it every day, three times a day in Shemoneh Esrei. Right? Mechak Chaim, Mechazer, Mechayim Meitim, right, etc. Rofe Cholim. He is the healer of the sick. It's not the doctor. It's not the surgeon. It's not, you know, the nurses. They're doing amazing work. Rapo Yirapeh, they might have a mitzvah to say to heal the sick. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, is the one who heals them. He is the major doctor. Is, even if people say that it's not true, really, there's plenty of people who are healthy even though they eat trefos. Really, they, you know, there's plenty of people who are unhealthy when they're so makbid for olas kashrus, they only eat badatzei d'charedis and Rav Rubin and Rav Landau, but they unfortunately suffer from real serious diseases. And he says, yeah, you could quote me all these, you know, these stories, but at the end of the day, it's not just because of the kashrus that we're healthy or because of the trefos that we're sick, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. It's really Darkei Refuah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchei HaMelechim, he is the Rofei Cholim, he is the one who decides. It's not like there's a built-in, you know, automatic, you know, you push here, this is what happens, but there's also this unknown factor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. The Abarbanel tells us in Vayikra Yud Aleph, we discussed a little bit the Abarbanel and how he wrote his Peirush when he was traveling. We discussed that in the original Shir. The Abarbanel tells us, he says, many different commentaries quote that Kashrus is all about physical health and it's about refuah. And he says, but the Torah is not a medical handbook. It doesn't make sense that the Torah is going to come and give us all these like medical tips. That's what doctors are for. The Torah is here to give us spiritual help. Right? I understand there's all these commentaries and books that have been written about refuah, piyat Torah, and these and that, and I'm familiar with some of these books. You've seen, there's plenty of books written, right? There's the book that came out a few years ago in Hebrew and English, The Diet According to the Rambam, and there's the guy in Tzfat, I forget what his name is off the top of my head, who wrote a whole book about, and has a whole website about nutrition, piyat Torah, this whole thing about you can't eat fruits and vegetables outside of their season because it goes against the spirits of your body. Whatever it is, he says, I understand that people write all these things, but the Torah is not a medical textbook. We have doctors. The Torah is the Torah. But the Torah is not medicine. That, and the Abarbanel continues, is not only that, he continues with the other idea. There's non-Jews who are healthy and strong and doing great things. How many Jews are there playing professional sports in the NBA, MLB, NFL, you know, etc.? Very few. They're all non-Jews. Okay? And most of them are eating non-kosher. And that's something, you know, it's a big kashya on this question. Maybe it's all about refuah. The Abarbanel then continues and says, the Torah did not teach us health alone, but rather the Torah is coming to be a spiritual guidebook. It's coming to enlighten us spiritually. And part of that is that we need to have healthy bodies first and foremost in order to spiritually grow. In order to be healthy and successful in our ruchnias, we need to be healthy. And that involves eating healthily. That involves exercising. That involves sleeping at least a normal amount for what you need. And these are things that we have to remove ourselves from eating bugs because those are mitamei our nefesh, right? The Gemara in Makos we quoted, I think last week, says it's either 5 or 6 yisurei d'oraita for every single bug. You look at the statistics of what one head of lettuce that's muksa kinagua could have hundreds of bugs in it. That means one head of lettuce, one bowl of salad could be over 1,000 yisurei d'oraita.
I mean, how often do you eat a whole head of lettuce? If you can't see it, it doesn't
different discussion. Not discussing it now. Not so pasha.
But it's true.
Not so basha, whatever. Different discussion for now, not about bugs. But he's saying these are things that are metame our souls, we really shouldn't be doing. And he says, and then he quotes, similar to the Rambam, there's foods that historically were connected to Avodah Zarah, and that's why we shouldn't do that. We're trying to avoid Avodah Zarah. So from here, right now, we're closing the section on the idea of Refuah Saguf. Maybe part of this is all about Tarki Refuah. We're trying to be healthy, we're trying to uphold our own lives, and we're trying to, the Torah is giving us guidelines and of how to live a healthy and positive life. Now I want to shift a little bit and see some of the discussion on the world of Refuas HaNefesh. Right, we have Briyas HaNefesh, Briyas HaGuf, Refuas HaNefesh, Refuas HaGuf. The Kli Yakar, Rav Raim Lunshitz, tells us in also Vayikra Yud Aleph, that's where most of the discussion is coming out. He says, there's so many people who say, Kashrus is about health, it's awesome. But what about all the non-Jews who eat non-kosher food? You want to tell me that it's too moist, it's too hot, it's cold, it doesn't mix well? I don't know. I don't know. When was the last time you like drank a cup of blood and you felt like your body like was like not so, you know, there was a e-harmony in your body, there was some sort of, you know, misunderstanding of is it hot out, is it cold out, what's going on, right? There's something like that. Maisa Shaya, today I was at the dentist, the AC wasn't working, it was incredibly hot. The dentist left in the middle to go complain to the receptionist, it's really hot. Did whatever, the AC wasn't working. She walked in with a cup of cold water and gave it to the dentist. The dentist said to her, true story, said, that doesn't help me, it's hot in here. She said, yeah, but if you drink the cold water, it'll cool you off. You don't need me to tell you how the body works. I'm not going to give you a class on anatomy because she's a receptionist and he's a doctor. And it was just very funny. But this was an idea that basically, I don't know, that's true, cold water cools you off, but when you like drink a cup of blood, are you like all out of whack, it's crazy, you don't know what's going on, your body is, are you hot, are you cold, hot flashes, cold flashes.
Typically get a blood transfusion, no.
Maybe that's why there's poskim who say, Rav Avadia has a whole thing about this. Can you get a blood transfusion from someone who doesn't keep kashrus?
It's based off of Aristotelian science that we no longer keep to.
Maybe.
No, it actually is.
Maybe science doesn't change.
What do you mean science doesn't change? Obviously it did.
This isn't Chazal, this is Rishonim.
I know.
Okay, it's just a certain general
sense. Yeah, okay.
Back in the day, the life that
Either way, this is the Kliyakar. We're not dealing with Rishonim anymore. The Kliyakar, we've shifted into the 1700s. He's basically saying, I don't get why you could say this. He says, there's so many people who eat bacon. How many Americans eat bacon every single day for breakfast? So they might weigh 300 pounds and have serious blood pressure issues, but they're not like dying on the street every day, right? Just imagine what anti-Semitism would be like if the average life for a Jew was 15 years longer than the average life of a non-Jew because of kashrus. And if that were true, you would have thousands of non-Jews, hundreds of thousands of non-Jews lining up to go to Shurim and Hilchos Kashrus, to keep Hilchos Kashrus, if that was going to guarantee them a longer life. Haraya, look at like the keto diet and Atkins and all these like diets that are out there, all these things that are going on. People spend thousands of dollars to eat healthy, to have better lives. They could just open up a Yoredeya, open up a Masechet Chulin, open up Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph. Seemingly, that's what they should be doing, and they're not. So the Kliyakar is saying, this is not a good proof. He then continues and he says, the Torah is not coming to tell us kashrus about refuas haguf. It's only teaching us refuas nefesh. It's teaching us spiritual guidelines, how we could live healthily and to be spiritually healthy, how to be spiritually happy. It's not about our physical bodies. He says, the bugs and the non-kosher foods, they're removing our ruach of tahara and kedusha. It's removing our purity and our holiness. It's destroying us spiritually. It creates a film that prevents us from getting closer to Hashem. And he says it also, like the Ramban told us, it's going to imbue upon us these cruel and unnecessary traits. And that's why he continues and he says, Chazal are telling us, what's the halacha if a donkey gives birth to a cow? Not talking mitzvahs here, halacha. Donkey gives birth to a cow. Kosher or not kosher? Raise your hand if you think it's kosher. It's a cow. Raise your hand if it's not kosher. So the Kliyakar explains, halachically we say it's not kosher. Why? It has all the simanim of a kosher animal. It chews its cud. It has split hooves. It's a cow. Take a DNA test. It's a cow. But the Kliyakar explains, because it comes from a tame source. It comes from a donkey. It can't be kosher because the root essence of it spiritually, practically, is not kosher. It's tame. And we can't bring that into our bodies, even if it has all the potential signs of being kosher. And he continues, as the Torah says, Zotachaya, the first animals that we learn about in Kashrus in the Torah, are chayot, the domesticated animals. And we only end off later with behemot. And the clear question is, why do we start off with the chayot? Because the Torah is telling us in Hilchos Kashrus on how to live our lives, and lives are spiritual. It's about the chayim. This is the life. Keep Kashrus. This is the life. This is what it's all about. Let's hold on to questions right now so we can try and finish in time and take questions at the end, okay? So basically, the Kliyakar is telling us we want to live with life. Keeping kosher ensures that we're going to have a life, not only in this world, but in the next world. And he says that's what kashrus is about. It's not about this world. It's about the next world. And that's why the Kliyakar says it doesn't affect non-Jews. I don't see a physical change in non-Jews. And I also don't see non-Jews lining up to learn Hilchos Kashrus, specifically for this reason. Because it's all about Olam Haba. Zot HaChaya. This is the life. It's not referring to Olam Hazeh. This is just a prosdor, as we say in Avot. We're trying to get to the next life. We're trying to get to Olam Haba. And that's why we have to learn Zot HaChaya. And that's why it doesn't affect non-Jews. That's why they don't line up to learn it. Because Olam Haba doesn't entice them the way it entices us. Their main focus, seemingly, is Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is not their main focus. And that's the opinion of the Kliyakar. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, writes in Mesilat Yesharim, Perek Yud Aleph, fascinating ideas. And he basically explains that the whole purpose of Kashrus, he says, from Hilchos Trefos, to Shechita, to Basar V'Chalav, Machalot Asuro, Yayin Nesach, Bishulei Akum, Giulei Akum, etc., Dam, etc., are all coming to teach us that we have desires, and we have Taiva, we have things we want to eat. You know how badly I just want to drink that cup of blood? It's just like, oh my God, that's amazing. How badly you want to eat Avram Min HaChai? I'm saying, don't you just want to walk up to a giraffe, grab off its leg and take a big bite? That's what we all want to do. But not Avram Min HaChai. Yeshevim Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Can say the same thing about lobster or shrimp or anything else. Okay? The Ramchal tells us that we have a pasuk that tells us that those who want to come close to Hashem should be avoiding eating tamei food, because tamei food is metameh themselves. And we're trying to negate the desires that we have. We're trying to remove the tumah from our lives. And that's why he says, when it comes to Hilchot Kashrut, We can't be makel. We shouldn't be makel. It's not possible to be makel because we're talking about spirituality. We're talking about our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking about minimizing taivot. So I don't care. You could bring me tainas, as the Aruch HaShulchan says in Siman Kuf, all about how the bugs, you're not see them. All right, Torah nitne lamalcha, lo nitne lamalcha asharei. But look at the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Pei Dalid, where he discusses the halachot of bugs directly. The Aruch HaShulchan says in Kuf, I'm being more melamed schus, I'm trying to be, you know, nice to the Jewish people, but that's not really how halacha works. And even that, we say, the Aruch HaShulchan, who says, make it as you can in Kuf, see what he says in Pei Dalid. See what the poskim say to... Beseder, that's a different discussion. Okay? But this is why the Ramchal tells us over here, before the Aruch HaShulchan was ever even written, okay, the Ramchal tells us, we should never be mekel in Hochos Kashrus, because we're talking about spirituality. We're talking to about our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if it's 3 minutes to get the Rabbanut pizza, or 10 minutes to walk to the Mahadran pizza, it's not even a question. Not only do you get the Mahadran pizza, you get more exercise, so you get the Briyas HaNefesh and the Briyas HaGuf. You win out on both cases. Of course that's what we should be doing. The Ramchal continues and he says, when you eat non-kosher, you're literally taking the tumah, you're taking the impurities, and you're sticking it down your throat. You're eating it, you're imbuing it, you're imbibing it in your body. That's the easiest and greatest way to ever take all the kedusha, all the Torah you learn, all the mitzvah you do, and just to throw it out the window. And the Ramchal tells us, this is the worst of all possible avera. Why? Because it's the only avera that literally goes inside of you and never comes out. It's like taking something and sticking it inside your body for good. Right? If you wear shatnez, the minute you take off your clothing, the shatnez garment, it's not there anymore. Right? But the minute you eat treif, it's now literally, it's part of you. It's an inherent part of your body. It's not going to change. And that's why the Ramchal says, we really need to do everything we can to be makbid and nogos kashrus, because the treifos are embedded within our flesh forever. And he says this even further, another really beautiful idea that we spoke about a little bit in the beginning of Herchel Shabbos Yerim. He says in Hilchot Shechita, right, we have the kana and the veset, the two different, the windpipe and the food pipe and the neck. And Shechita, you need to cut at least rove of the two simanim. And the Ramchal tells us, if you didn't cut rove, you cut just under rove, and then you eat that, that's treif. What do you mean? It was shechted by a world famous shochet. Yeah, but he didn't go halfway. It was less than halfway. But if he cut 51%, that's kosher lechatchila. And the Ramchal tells us there's things in halacha, there's things in life, that the smallest little detail, the size of a thin hair, is the difference between kosher and shreif, between tahor and tameh. You leave a little bit out of the mikvah when you go to tovel. That's not kosher tefillah. You go outside and you don't cut you don't shecht perfectly. You miss it by literally the size of a hair. That's treif. And the Ramchal tells us that there's certain things in life that the smallest little detail is what transfuses the entire act. It's that smallest little thing that leads to the shift. And how careful we need to be in life with even the smallest little details that come up. The Shlach Kadosh explained that the Torah detailed at much length what foods are allowed and not. And he quotes the Zohar, and he says, the Zohar warned us, don't ever eat non-kosher foods, because there's external aspects of tumah that then sit on the food. The food is, it's not that the food itself is just tameh, but there's a ruach of tumah, the Zohar tells us. There's an impurity that like sits on the food, and when you eat it, you're not only eating treif, you're eating ruach ha-tumah, you're bringing tumah inside of you. And thus, the Zohar tells, as the Shlach Kadosh quotes the Zohar, any Jew should never ever eat non-kosher, because you're risking being mitame your soul. And if you're mitame your soul, you could lose your entire sense of kedusha. You could be pokea kedusha, your own kedusha. Maybe not kedusha Yisrael, different discussions maybe in Hilchot. You know, if you eat according to this, I'm not going to go to an extreme and say, if you eat treif, you need to convert. You need to go through a gyor process because you were pokea kedusha Yisrael. I don't think we go that far, the Zohar would say. But it's definitely something that we're going to say that's going to affect who you are spiritually. It literally, the Shlach says, you're ripping a piece of your body, you're ripping a piece of your soul out. You eat something non-kosher, you take a little chunk of your soul and you throw it out. You're destroying yourself from inside. Hold the question, you want to finish on time, not to cut in too much. The Shlach then continues and quotes the Reish Chachma, who comes and tells us that anyone who eats kosher food, l'shem shemayim, and this is an idea you'll see all over Sifrei Chassidus. I apologize to the Litvaks in the room in advance. The Reishi Chachma tells us, as we see all throughout Sifrei Chassidus, when you eat kosher food, l'shem shemayim, that is called kedusha and tara. You're not only sur meiraz, we said at the beginning from the idea of it, you're avoiding trefos, but you're filling yourself with kedusha and tara. You're eating something that's kosher. You're eating something that's connecting you to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're able to take the physical food, the lowly food, something that's a pure act of physicality, that's eating, that's just trying to sustain me physically. But you're taking it another level. You're taking it two levels. You're taking it three levels. And you're eating food that's going to connect you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And by eating kosher food, the Reishi Chachma and the Chassidim say, you're being Mekadesh Lechomer. You're imbuing holiness and spirituality in the most physical and mundane of actions, like eating food. And that's why he says we have to maximize the eat only that which is good for us, because it's not just that eating kosher food sustains us, but it makes us. It gives us kedusha. It gives us tahara. Next time you're sitting down and eating food, think to yourself, this is a maisik tahara. This is a maisa of kedusha. I should have his romamus and spiritual elation when I eat that steak, or the sushi, or the chicken, or the pizza, or the pasta, the same way I do during Musaf on Yom Kippur. I'm connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. It's a different derech. But it's a way to relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, writes in Chorev, I brought it for you guys in English, he says that just like with the Beis HaMikdash, there's an external and there's an internal. There's a pnimius and there's a chitonius. There's a body, there's a soul. And he says, you need to sanctify yourself. You need to make yourself holy on both aspects. And he writes here, so there's foods that are impure and unfit for your spirit as far as they are. All of them are living in a place of activity for your own being, which is summoned into holiness. Right? You're eating food that's going to try and make you holy, that's going to try and bring upon you a sense of holiness, a sense of kedusha. And he says, your body and your soul are two aspects of the same thing. We're trying to fill our lives with kedusha. We're trying to fill our lives with holiness. And you don't want to drag your body, your heart, your soul down by eating things that aren't holy, because you're trying to strive high, to go upwards, to grow, to strive. And why would you try and do things that are only going to damage you? Because your spirit, once you eat treif, he says, your spirit is now faced with a fiercer battle and is less equipped for the fight. You've damaged yourself spiritually. You now don't have the same koach, the same kalim to deal with the Yetzer Hara. The next idea is the idea, kipashtus, as we opened off with. We keep kashrus because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. And the Sforno tells us that before Matan Torah, the difference between Tameh and Tahor existed. How do I know Tameh and Tahor existed before Matan Torah? Who can give me a proof?
Noah.
Last week's Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you take two of this animal, you take seven of that animal. Noach should say, God, what on earth is the difference between Tahor and Tameh? I've never heard of this. Where is this coming from? And even after that, Noach left the Teva. According to the Rambam, at least, Noach didn't have to keep Hilchos Kashrus afterwards, maybe. Okay? So the Sforno is explaining to us that the idea of kashrus came as a commandment specifically from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be kodesh, anshe kodesh to Hiuli. The idea of tahor and tameh existed in advance. But the commandments to be eating kashrus, to only eat things that are kosher and tahor, that only came at Matan Torah. Haraya, Noah himself. We quote this idea also, is quoted in the Torah Chaim, in the name of the Grach, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker. And he says, in the name of the Grach, Shachena machalot asurot mizikot laguf. It's true that there are non-kosher foods that are damaging to your body. That's a fact. There's no doctor in America who will tell you that pork and bacon is good for your cholesterol and your blood pressure. It's a fact that it's not healthy. I think we could all agree on that. And even the, you know, pork lovers of America society will agree that it's not healthy for them. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explains, but aval kol ze ba rak lachar she'atorah ba v'yasra. Yes, it's not healthy. But the reason why we keep kashrus has nothing to do with, is it healthy, is it not healthy, how does it affect us? The only reason we keep kashrus, Rav Chaim explains, is because the Ribbono Shel Olam and Matan Torah said, these are the halachos of kashrus. Here is Chelek Yerodeya, Aleph Bet and Gimel. This is all Hilchos Kashrus. Here's Masechet Chulin. Here's Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. This is what kosher is. Learn it. Know it. Do it. I don't care about the refuah, Rav Chaim says. It's all about that this is what the Rabbanu Shalom wants from us. And at the end of the day, no matter what reason we hold, the guiding principle to our Yiddishkeit, to our religion, to our keeping Halacha and Torah is, this is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us. This is Ratzon Hashem. This is Tzivoy Hashem. And that's what we're trying to do. There's an idea that comes up very often. It's discussed. Definitely the Chasam Sofer and the Gross Moshe both discuss it at length in their works regarding whether or not a special needs student can go to a school that's going to, you know, maybe help them overcome some of their disabilities and help them, you know, work through some of the challenges that they have. But they're not going to eat kosher. And that's a sugya called Timtum Halev. The Gemara in Yuma and Lametet tells us in the name of Yishmael, Avera mitamtemet liboshel adam. And Avera, it makes us tame. And then the Gemara tells us, Shenemar v'lo titamu bahem v'nitamtem bam. And the Gemara tells us, Al tikri unitmetem ela v'nitamtem. Don't tell me that it makes you tame. Rather, it's Timtum. Rashi explains, what's Timtum? Otemet v'sotemet mikol ha-chachma. It comes and it blocks, it seals off the different chachmot. It comes and it prevents us, as we said earlier. It's like a film, it's like a screen that prevents us from connecting on deeper levels to the Rabbono Shel Olam. Rabbeinu Bechaye in his Perush Al HaTorah in Vayikra Yud Aleph Mem Gimel tells us explicitly that the reason for kashrus is because we're going to have this timtum, this that's going to come and cover us with a cloud. And it's going to block our higher spiritual capabilities. And it's going to block our spirituality. We're not going to be able to have the opportunities to potentially tap into Ruach HaKodesh, to tap into spirituality. And it's going to prevent us from a deeper connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how can I eat treif? How can I eat something that's not kosher? It's going to prevent me from relating to the Rabbono Shel Olam, Melech Malchei Hamlochim. How could I ever do that? This is brought down the halacha by many posts, but specifically I brought here a tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yud Chet Siman Ayin, and I brought here the very end in Sif Yud. Rav Waldenberg writes that the Torah tells us that we need to make sure that our homes are full of good. But he says that we also know that there's different halachot for kashrus. We all know. In the case of pikuach nefesh, are you allowed to eat treif? Yes. In wartime, is there reasons to be making on to eat treif? Yes. We're going to discuss potentially one of our Friday shiurim, a fascinating tshuva of Rav Yaakov Ariel about soldiers that went to Lebanon and they captured kalim that weren't kosher and they wanted to know, if I capture the house and I know the owner of the kli, that then I can't use the kli because I haven't totaled it and I'm the owner because that's how war works. Maybe I don't own it, but Sahal owns it or the Medina owns it. How that all plays together? Can I use their rice? Is that stealing? But it's war, etc. Fascinating tshuva. Hopefully we'll discuss it one of the coming Fridays at some point this year. And the Tzitz Eliezer tells us that yes, this is true. There are kulas built into Hilchos Kashrus, such as Pikuach Nefesh, such as wartime. But Rav Waldenberg says, but the Torah, when it talks about war, it says, Hishamer lecha pein tishkachet Hashem asher hotzi iticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mibeit avadim. That pasuk is quoted in this discussion of kulas in wartime in Devarim Perek Vav. And Rav Waldenberg explains that the reason why this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, there are svaras, there's reasons to be mekel. Because you're a soldier at war, you need to be strong in order to defend your people. But hishamer lecha, safeguard, pein lo tishkach, because if you eat non-kosher, you're going to not be able to remember and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You might forget part of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something significant is going to change. Something drastic is happening. And that's why Rav Waldenberg says, well, maybe it's permissible due to Pikuach Nefesh and war. It's still going to cause Timtum Halev. And we need to remember when we're eating it. It's just because of the kula, we're not trying to succumb because we want to remember what Hashem is, Hishamer Lecha. And Rav Waldenberg says, Paskins halacha lemaisa, in the sugya of Hutra Dechuya, Shchita, or Trefa, in Hilchos Shabbos, as we mentioned earlier, where the Tzitz Eliezer, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim of the 20th century, tells us, better that you should shech the cow, kasher the cow, and cook the cow on Shabbos, than eat trefos. Better that you should go and be over Isurei Shabbos, than to eat the already cooked trefa. Why? Because that's going to affect your soul. The last idea I want to quote, so ironically I brought it here, it was quoted, I saw it, Agav, as I was just trying to put these things together, I quickly put something into Google, and this showed up out of nowhere. It was, happens to be quoted on Wikipedia. That's where I copied this from. But this quote came up on when I Googled something about kashrus. I wasn't wanting to check a source. And all of a sudden it came up Wikipedia on kashrus, because Wikipedia always shows up first. And based on this psukim in Vayikra, as we spoke about earlier, that kashrus is something that's coming to set us aside. A Christian professor of theology, Gordon Wenham, writes in the Evangelical Quarterly. I don't know why or how I'm quoting this in Shir, but whatever. I guess Torah Umada. The purpose of kashrus, he writes, was to help the Jews maintain a distinct and separate existence from other people. The effect of law was to prevent socialization and intermarriage with non-Jews, preventing Jewish identity from being diluted. He goes so far to say, it's not spiritually about making us different than the non-Jews, but it's coming to say, don't intermarry, don't intermingle, avoid them. You're different, you're holier, you're separated. And this is what he's saying. We see this comes up actually very much in some of the Gzerot Rabbanan about Yayin Nesach. Maybe you're drinking alcohol in a non-Jew. Rav Schechter's Psak, that it's usher to drink beer at a ball game because that's a makum shtia. Whatever different discussions that come up in a lot of these things. But these are definitely things that are going to come up. There are halachot that are made specifically because of chatnut, such as pat akum and things of the like. So really, there's another idea that what we're trying to do is to remove ourselves from being like the non-Jews. We're trying to create some sort of boundaries, some distance, some safeguards, but to remind ourselves, we are different. We are Jews. And yes, that's not necessarily saying we're looking down on the non-Jews, but we're recognizing that there is a difference. There's a spiritual difference between us and non-Jews, and that which we put in our body, you are what you eat, has spiritual ramifications. As a short summary, we're going to say, why do we keep kosher? Rashi and Rikananti says, kadoshim to you. And that's the idea brought down a little bit on the flip side. It's not kadoshim to you, it's just be separate. Avoid the non-Jews. That's what Professor Wenheim says. The Ramban and the Kli Yakar are saying, it's a din in achzarius. I don't want to be evil. I don't want to be cruel. The Rambam and the Ramchal are telling us, you're trying to remove yourself from your desires. You're trying to tell yourself, there's certain things I don't want to be a part of. I don't need to succumb to every little thing that my body tells me I want. Yeah, you want to eat that? Go eat that now. No, it's not kosher. I need to wait till I salt it, till I shecht it, till I do hadacha rishona, malicha, hadacha shnia. What happens if I did the malicha without the hadacha rishona? No, there's a process that we have to go through that to make food kosher. It's not about the nows. This is something I've discussed with the Eshet Yifat Tohar. Maybe there's a way that one day you could marry her. But you need to control your taiva first. It's not like, right now, I'm going to act upon my impulses. That's what kashrus is coming to teach us. That there are certain things that are out of bounds, or maybe it'll be kosher, but there's a process that we need to go through first. The Rambam, the Abarbanel, and the Sefer HaChinuch, it's about refuah. We're trying to be healthy. We're trying to live healthy physical lives. The Abarbanel says, it's the healthy physical lives and the healthy spiritual life that comes together. It's the fusion of the two of them working together as a two-sided sword, double-edged sword, to relate and work on our kesher with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Then the Rambam and the Abarbanel also discuss that maybe there's certain foods that are trefos, certain taroves of basar v'chalav, certain things about dam that were used for avodah zarah, and that's why it's asar. Mashma from Vayikra Perek Chaf, that maybe it's about being separate. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Gemara in Yuma, the Kli Yakar and the Ramchal, there's Timtum HaNefesh, there's Timtum HaLev. Eating trefos is going to affect who we are and what we are. And there's the idea of the Svorno and Rav Chaim Ibrisk. That at the end of the day, it's Sivoy Hashem. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And yes, there's many different reasons to be brought. But the reason at the end of the day is we're working so hard to work on our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchei Amlachim. We want to relate to the Ribono Shel Olam. We want to have a relationship with Him in the deepest way. And I would never want to do something that could inhibit, that could prevent, that could harm my relationship with Him. And that includes what I eat. I want to eat only the best of things. If you were a world-class athlete, you read some of these things, some of the greatest athletes in the world, they say, I haven't eaten pizza in 2, 3, 4, 10 years. I haven't eaten certain non-healthy foods because if I want to be the best of the best, this is what I need to do. There's things that people do that to go to far extremes because they want to be amazing at it. And this is true for athletes, and even more that should be true when it comes to spiritual pursuits and relating to a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the highest manner. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring ourselves up, not only with what we do and our actions we do, whether that's our tefillah, whether that's our Torah, whether that's our chesed or our tzedakah, but it's true even more so with what we eat. As the Rambam says, we need to know Elchos Kashrus in and out because you're mekayim three different mitzvot aseh. And as Rav Bakshi Daron was medayik in the Rambam, when you eat with positive knowledge, that it's kosher, with the understanding that it's kosher, you understand that there's a difference between the Rabbanut versus the Mahajan Tenuva versus the Bedatei Haredes on the three different hashkachas that are in Eretz Yisrael for milk, that there's a difference between the different types of way they milk the animals on Shabbos, Tzar Balei Chaim, is it Grumma, is it Goy, is it, right, different aspects that are going on there. Maybe it's a question of how do they accept, right, if it's got to be Chal of Yisrael, so how do they accept? Are they somech on video cameras as hashkacha? Do they require a mashkiach to physically be there in person? Different discussions. You have to know the nuances and differences between the different kashrus organizations. Maybe knowing that when you eat is filling in a void that we don't have anymore with our globalized world, with our factory-based kashrus. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to tap back in and recognize that with everything we eat, as we said in the Reishit Chachma, as we said with the Hasidim, we're being Mekadesh L'Chomer, we're raising ourselves up through the food we eat. We're not only trying to avoid eating Yisurim, trying to avoid the Trefos and the Velos and the Shratzim and the Shkatzim and the Ramasim, but we're trying to bring ourselves up as we strive with every single bite we take and everything we do to draw ourselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avinu Shebashamayim.